Hi, this is Daniel Garber the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 4,000 years ago in the north. Kauljak and Sapa are teenagers who have known each other since they were babies when they were promised to one another. But a few big events happen all at the same time. First, Kaujak's father suddenly dies for unknown reasons. Then a sketchy guy arrives in a kayak promising a good life for Kaujak if her mother marries him and moves to their area. And while all this is happening, Sapa's on a hunting trip. When he comes home, he sees Kaujak is gone. Meanwhile, she is very unhappy in her new neighborhood, her new area, where the people are unkind, especially an aggressive young man, demanding she marry him. How long can Kaujak continue to say no? Will the promised young couple ever see each other again, or will Kaujak be forced to marry the wrong husband? The Wrong Husband is a new film from Nunavut that adapts ancient tales and stories and oral tradition to contemporary cinema. It combines a love story with aspects of spiritualism and the supernatural in the form of gods, monsters, and shamans. The story is told in Inuktitut with an indigenous cast. It's directed and co-written by award-winning Inuit filmmaker Zacharias Kunuk, known for his documentaries and features. Atanarjuat, the fast runner, won the Camera d'Or at Cannes and countless Canadian prizes and was a critical and commercial success. Other notable films include The Journals of Knud Rasmussen and Searchers or Malaglutit. The Wrong Husband had its Canadian premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to have here with me in person at TIFF Zacharias Kunuk to tell us more about The Wrong Husband. Thanks so much for meeting with me. I understand this story is partly based on Inuit oral tradition. Was this story or the ideas behind the story first told to you orally, or did you read it somewhere?
In my culture, in the Inuit culture, a promise is a promise, like a deal, with no documents, no signatures. When Inuit make a deal, like, you see that in my new film, where the women are cleaning skin, and they make a deal. When my Kauja grows up, we'll live with your supper. And they agree, and that's bond. Now, I know this arranged marriage were done. I also know a man who married a promised woman and lived happily and had two children before the right husband came. And they fought a duel, and the winner was the right husband and took her away. Now, I know that story. I've seen this man who have lost this woman in my community, so I know that story.
Right.
I picture it how it must have looked. And then in this story, Wrong Husband, I'm trying to tell an Inuit story long time ago when shamanism ruled the world. When women looked as if they had no power, but they had lots of power. It looked like the man's world, but it's equal. When I was growing up, my mother would tell me a story of the troll. Don't wander too far, or the troll will catch you and put you in her amauti, in her carrying case. So we learned all these stories. So in this film, I'm putting this in the film.
So let's talk about the troll. One of the first scenes in the movie, we see this very scary hand with a long claw appearing around some ice coming out of the water. But it's as if the people can't see it. Can they see her? Or?
People can see the troll.
Oh, okay.
I've talked to people who have seen the troll.
Oh, really?
And how we got the image of the troll is from the elders. When they talk about the troll, cat, great big nose. People have seen the troll by accident, usually by accident. They're hiding. The troll is always hiding, but by accident, you could catch it. People tell me these stories and I get the image. And also for the fog lady, I put the fog lady as an angel, which is the helping spirit of the good German woman. And that's what I'm trying to show.
So she's like, she's like wears white and is almost glowing. And wherever she is, there's like mist or fog around her. And what does she represent? Like, what sort of is she a goddess? Is she a fairy? Is she, like, what sort of a being is she?
I created this fog lady, but I know in shaman stories, in helping spirits, Inuit would have, I know this one shaman who had three tree spirits. There's no trees up there. But how I've heard these stories. I've heard land spirits, sea spirits, sky spirits, and the fog lady is just there.
And this story takes place 2000 BC, so they're missing any sort of modern technology. But how long did that way of life persist in your mind?
We couldn't, when people ask me, how old is this? We couldn't tell because for thousands of years, the clothes stayed the same, the tent stayed the same, animals, of course, stayed the same.
Of course.
It's like time capsule, that we can't tell how old it is.
Right.
Could be 100 years, 200 years ago,
right.
But couldn't be because the whales were here already here. Waiting for the oil. So.
Another thing is they play a game in the over the course of the film with a ball, but it also seems to, turn into a fight or a competition. Can you explain this game?
We learned this. We played this game when we were children. Soft, made of skin, with sand in it. And you play it by two pair. One belongs to the other team, the other like that. So you're just passing the ball around to your team, and the other team tries to catch it. That one I chose because it's a summer event. There's also the wolf game.
The wolf game.
Yeah, the wolf game is something else that I wanted to put in, but we play a wolf game in the winter time when the moon is full and lights up the snow.
So you filmed in the summer, and that's when it's light 24 hours, right?
Yes.
So did you shoot at night and day, or like how did you do it?
Anytime. Like you see 2 o'clock in the morning. You see this beautiful sun, low sun, and you see these two young people building some sort of a house. That's 2 o'clock in the morning. Up where we are, we have this 24 hours, July, August. In August, it started to go down. And we have this, in the summertime, we have this golden hour.
Right.
We try to use that hour to shoot sometimes.
And when you're filming in the summer, so most people's image of the North is snow and ice and igloos, but this is a very different terrain. Can you talk about, I mean, they have, the characters pick berries and flowers, like, you know, plants and things like this. Can you talk about what it's like in the summer?
Yeah, in the summertime, when the ice goes, there used to be somewhere where they walk the land, where berries, you can pick berries on the ground. And women usually love to do that, so we had women picking. We shoot any time of the hour.
Now, there's one image in the film, and it doesn't, for some reason, it didn't have a repeat, so I only saw it when it was there. It was only for a couple of seconds. But when he's on the mountain, or on a hill coming towards the camera, and for a brief second, we see antlers appear above his head. And later on, one of the characters tells him, you have to be true, you have to keep the caribou spirit. So what is this caribou spirit? What is that referring to?
In my culture, we think the polar bear is strongest. The Arctic can walk on land, on ice, and even swim in the snow and dive. But the caribou, which has skinny legs, is the most powerful spirit that I have heard, especially the teeth of the caribou. So I use that. I try to use that. That's a helping spirit.
And what is the caribou spirit like? What traits? What can it do?
It's a good spirit.
Oh, good spirit.
Yeah, it's a good spirit.
One thing that confused me. So I'm watching the movie, and it's the mother and the daughter, and they move to the new area. And then the daughter starts calling her little sister, and she calls her big sister or older sister. And I'm thinking, wait, but I thought that's the mother and that's the daughter. And I started getting, but no, they can't be sisters. That's impossible because we see her grow up with her, right? Mm. So it is a mother and daughter, but can you explain this use of names or what they called each other?
In this culture, we inherit names. Like, I inherit my father's mother's name.
Oh.
She died and I was born and I inherit her name. So all this time I'm growing up, my father's calling me mother.
Because it was so confusing.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to tell. Everybody, loved ones die. And when they have new babies, they name them. So the name lives on.
And so in the film, older sister is the name of the main character, and her mother's name is younger sister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that's like one of her names.
Yeah.
Literally, older sister is the name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Exactly. Okay. I haven't mentioned it yet, but the camera work and the music is so beautiful, and they add so much to the feeling of the film. I think there was some throat singing and other. Can you talk about the music and the camera work in your film?
Well, these guys are good.
They're really good. Yeah. Fantastic.
I always work with these same people. That's the way we shoot. I mean, that's the way I like. Sometimes wide, sometimes close. The music came from a group called Pixa. And they're from the West, Vancouver, in the Winnipeg area, the two women. And they do this beautiful music. And I didn't know them till my crew knew them. Then I started listening to that kind of music, and that's what we want. So exactly what we need.
All your movies are filmed in the North. What problems does that, do you face that making a movie in the South has? Join me. Like, how is it harder up there to shoot a movie? Is it?
What's mine?
It's your, okay, okay.
It's Southland.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of making a movie in the South?
I hate to, because I want them to do it themselves.
Okay, okay.
Like, I heard the story of Black Elk and Shamanism World, and they should make that.
And finally, like, when did the missionaries first come to the North? Maybe it was before the 1950s, right? So it was like...
That's the very documentary I'm making.
Oh, okay.
There's two, the Catholics and the Anglicans.
Right.
The Catholic movement went through the mainland, and the Anglicans took over Baffin Island.
Okay.
So Iglerick is somewhere in the middle of Baffin Island, in the mainland, Canada. And in this community, in 1966, it was when I got there, it was split in two. My Catholic cousins, which I'm not allowed to see and speak to.
Really?
I remember, because I'm on the Anglican side. We kept the day holy, button up. We don't go outside, play outside. We don't walk the land. We don't eat plants. But when I look out my window, my cousins on the Catholic side, they're playing baseball, which I love to join.
That degree of separation.
Yeah, that was the Christianity movement.
But Christianity also brought... It stopped, I mean, this is what I'm asking, did it stop the oral tradition? Did people still tell stories, speak in it, to hold on to the old legends and the oral tradition?
The Catholics, they kept it more. They were more free with the culture. But the Anglicans was very strict. We were told not to tell stories, sing our old traditional songs. That's what they told us in the church.
But
we're bad people. We don't listen.
Okay, good. No, because I'm just wondering, how did these traditions, how did these stories live on, even though they were forbidden?
Yeah, but we don't believe that.
Okay, no, please keep telling the stories anyway. I mean, that's good, because you wouldn't
our
be able
culture,
to...
This culture brought us here. So it's more important than... Other cultures.
Of course. No, I was like thinking if it had been a total cutoff, you wouldn't have known these things. You wouldn't have been able to tell this story and make this film.
No, there would be nothing.
So, Zacharias Canuck, thank you so much for speaking with me. His beautiful new film, The Wrong Husband, premiered at TIFF and is opening soon. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.